Welcome to the R7 podcast, sponsored by M is Good. R7 is an innovative, God-inspiring process that explores personal and professional purpose. R7 analyzes seven strategies to transform your vision and find direction in your organizational marketing. R7 establishes clarity and guidance for the gift we call life. Welcome to the R7 podcast. We're back again with some awesome guests. It's going to be part two on action. We're going to pick up where we left off last week, talking about powerful messaging that drives remarkable conversions. I want to welcome in to the podcast Mr. Steve Agrin from Christian Kitchens Coffee, the COO and founder of Christian Kitchens. We've been honored to have him. Steve, you've been a client for 3 years?
Yeah, 2-3 years now, probably three. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Welcome to the podcast. Dave Bennett, my sidekick, is here as usual.
Yeah. Hello.
In Michigan. You still in Michigan? Where are you at?
No, man, I'm back in Florida and summer is officially here for real. So I am very happy. This is
nice.
Good.
So you're in Florida. Yep. Steve is in Florida and Connecticut, right? You've got to bounce back and forth. So they're in Sarasota.
Yep. Sarasota right now. Yeah. Yep.
How far is that for you, Dave?
That's the other side of the state, so that's probably 3.5 hours. Gotcha. 3.5-4 hours. Yep.
Where are you, Dave?
I am in Northeast Florida.
Oh, all right, cool.
Jacksonville
area.
Okay. Yep. Awesome. Jacksonville, Daytona, right up there in that corner.
Beautiful.
So
nice.
All is good. It's a beautiful side of the state you live in for sure.
Thank you. Well, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me on, Dave and Dave. Dave Squared. Appreciate the opportunity. Looking forward to digging in with you guys.
Yeah, you know, when we were talking about part two on action, you know, for those that are just listening, you know, when we're talking about R7, we're talking about, you know, destiny. You know, the destiny, as we know it, is to glorify the Lord with our talents and our abilities. You know, from there we build a vision, and then to build out a nice strategy, we build the brand, we communicate, we pray about steps 1 through 5, and then step 7, we take action. So R7 is the 7th. Step in our process. And you know, I think about Steve, you being a butt kicker, man, you going after it all the time, just Mach 10, you just taking action, and just wanted to bring you in, someone with some credibility, and you know, that's super successful at taking action. When not all the pieces are there, you just go. And I think that would be a cool balance between we left off with last week, which is talking about how powerful messaging drives remarkable conversions. When you have incredible messaging, then take action. But sometimes your messaging isn't as incredible as it could be, and you're taking action. So I wanted to get your thoughts on that, Steve, you know, in terms of, you know, taking action.
Yeah, action to me is a pretty big word. I do consider myself a butt kicker, I guess. I think the most important part of action is being your biggest critic. I think that we sort of depend on other people to be honest with us and to sort of push us along. But I think we all have this internal compass that if it's pointed in the right direction, we absolutely all have the motivation and desire to execute on action. I do think results absolutely correlate with the level of action you put into things. You know, some things take a long time to come to fruition. Our coffee company, for example, has taken some time to get some legs under it, and we've sort of pivoted a few times. And, you know, it's tough to create a paradigm shift in a marketplace that hosts a commodity like coffee. And so you always have to be thinking about different ways to incorporate the psychology behind a particular activity. And part of activity is ACT, which is also part of action. And I feel like, you know, for us with Christian Kitchens, for example, it's my wife came up with this theory about habit stacking. And so, you know, there are millions and millions of people every single day that wake up in the morning and they start drinking their coffee. And then you have this other segment that wakes up in the morning and they pray. And so the whole premise behind our approach is to sort of habit stack, put those two actions together, bring that action into its own place in the morning so that you're sharing your moment with coffee with the Lord. And we always say, you know, it's really not about the coffee. It's about motivating our brothers and sisters to stay in the Word. You know, so that's, I guess, in a nutshell, sort of what we are running after with that company. It's a very tough place to be. I mean, there's a lot of hate that goes on against us Christians, as you guys know. It's not always easy to be the face of the Lord Jesus Christ out in this, this material world that sort of is driven by a political agenda, the social agenda, whatever the agenda is. It's just, we really have a hard time facing some of the scrutiny that we face each day. But you know what? You just got to get up every morning and you got to say, you know, I'm not doing this for the people that don't like us. I'm not doing it for even myself. I'm doing it for the Lord. And I feel like that's the most important thing, is if we can wake up in the morning and do really what we are designed to do as individuals, because we're all woven individually and we're all given these gifts. And if you act upon and utilize those gifts, I think you're got a much higher level approach to this world. You've got your eye set on something a lot bigger than the failure that we face each day in the small little battles and the war we're waging. But ultimately, I think that, you know, it's a blessing to wake up and think, man, what am I going to do for somebody today? And it's the way you need to think. And I'm not doing this for me. This business is not for us. It's for the glory of the God above us.
That's good. That's good. And it's interesting because, you know, in your role, you know, in your organization as COO, and we have a lot of pastors that, that listen to this podcast, you know, pastors that are out there, in Steve's role as COO is very similar at your church as an executive pastor. And, you know, as I was an executive pastor for a few years, we used to kind of joke around the fact that, you know, I mean, we drive action, execution, performance. We do all those things, and you do all those things at, you know, at a business level too. But a lot of times it feels like you're being thrown in the deep end and being expected to swim in that role. So when you think about kind of what you, you know, what you do there and how you're driving performance and action, how do you identify with that?
How do I identify with that? It's a good question. You know, I think of, it really comes down to learning. You know, I think that's ultimately what it's all about. You know, I thought about this story that, you know, Mother Teresa back in the day, she visited Australia, and this new recruit was assigned to her and basically was told, you know what, you're going to be her gopher. You're going to follow her around. You're going to attend to her every need, make sure that she's safe, be her guide. And he was like, oh my gosh, man, this is totally awesome. I'm going to be spending time with Mother Teresa. I'm a new recruit. How am I going to use this? What's this going to do for me? Am I long-term life as, you know, coming to this service to the Lord. And, you know, so he gets through these few days with Mother Teresa, and he gets to the end and he's like completely frustrated. It's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this. I had no time with her. I was right by her side. There were always people around her. I never even got a chance to really talk to her. And so she was getting to the end of this trip and she's set to fly off to New Guinea. And she was like, you know what? He approaches her and he says, Mother Teresa, if I pay for my flight, can I sit next to you on the plane so that I can learn from you? And she turns to him and she says, so you have money to pay for your own flight to New Guinea? And he said, yeah, I do. And she said, well, I think you'd be much better served if you gave that to the poor. You would learn much more from that than you would be learning from me on a flight to New Guinea. You know, and so that's what it's all about. It's this learning. It's just putting yourself out there. It's giving to others. You know, and I think it's tough, man. You know, it's tough being the COO of a company, and it's not always easy trying to come up with the next mix on who and where to target and where are these people, you know, where are these people swimming? Where, you know, you were talking about being thrown in the deep end.
Yeah.
We've had a hard time finding them in the shallow end sometimes.
Yeah, you know, man.
I mean, it's not always easy because coffee is everywhere, and Christian coffee. Then it's like, well, geez, you're making money off the Lord and on and on. You know, it's easy for people to, you know, to punch in the stomach, but in the end, I think that it's most important for us to just continually keep our compass pointed north and always do everything we're doing for the benefit of bringing our brothers and sisters together, helping to educate them with our daily devotional, helping them understand it's not about the coffee, it's about your spiritual development. We care for you, we love you, we want you to be a better Christian, and we're here to basically give you some tools that'll help you grow in your faith. And when people see that it's actually not about a tangible, they start to understand there's a different company here. And I think as COO, it's more or less for me to think about this is not about a tangible product. It's about an intangible spiritual development device, which we can offer people to grow.
I love that, man. That is so good. You know, Dave and I talked about a few episodes ago, Charity Water. We talked about Tom Shoes. We talked about all these other organizations that are out there that have this purpose that's not the exact in front of you, right? Where Tom Shoes, where you buy a pair and then they give a pair away. And it's not just about creating shoes to sell, whether it's on the internet or anywhere else. I love that idea with, you know, with what you guys are doing from a coffee standpoint. So when you think about kind of what you just talked about where you guys are, how hard that market is, what are some of the action killers you guys deal with that really kind of keep you from moving forward that maybe you in the role that you're in have to find a way to stop or hold back?
Social media. I immediately think of social media as the place where we get slammed and we get stopped. You know, you're at the mercy of politically funded social media platforms that you cannot control. Yeah. And, you know, let's Facebook, for example, we could put an ad out there. And it's unbelievable how you can pay for an ad and you just know it's getting in front of the wrong eyes. And I think it's intentional. And I might be, you know, the conspiracy theorist, but I just don't feel like we can always control who this ad is getting in front of. And so what that does is, you know, we're basically taking an ad and we're dropping it in the middle of this cesspool and the ripple effect takes place. And as a challenger, I'm super bold. I'm out there. I mean, I'm very blunt. Everything that's here is usually out here before I even have a chance to process appropriately. And, you know, my wife and I told her, I said, I can't be managing this Facebook thing or any of this social media thing because I would comment back. I mean, I would take these novices to court here, not literally, but you know what I mean? Just like I'd rail them. I mean, I can't take what some of these people say. And then you go on and check their profile and they've got things up that really explain who they are. And then I just think to myself, well, geez, remove my personal self from this. And these people need prayer. I mean, these people really need to be prayed for because the destruction of the society here in America is all starting at this very minute level. It's in the minutiae. It's on these platforms. It's in these neighborhoods. It's these folks that just make waves and they love to do it. So, you know, that's the pushback that we face most often. When we get out there and we talk about it and we do events at churches or we do events at fairs and things like that, people love us. You know, people come up to us. And I think the face-to-face is ultimately the easiest place for us to position our company, show them that we care, show them that we're real human beings. And again, that just goes to show me that face-to-face is more powerful than the screen thing. You know, and it's when you have a personal relationship with someone, you have a conversation and bring them sort of along in their on their journey and their path, completely different situation. The hurdles are much lower out in the real world when you're face to face. And I also think, too, the Lord puts you in front of the right people in that situation. I think the devil's at play in some of these social media platforms, and it's really hard for us in those areas. And I got to say, you know, it's really hard for us to find tens of thousands of our potential and premier customer base sitting in one particular place. They're sort of scattered, they're meek, they're mild. And to us, that's good. That's who we want. But trying to find them isn't always the easiest thing to do.
You know, one of the things I've always appreciated about you and your wife is that, you know, you've looked at this as a calling, you know, and you've taken the long-term approach to it as well. And I really love that. It reminds me of of what Michael Jordan said years ago, which I thought was just crazy when he said it. And he said, you know, I don't make mistakes. He's like, and I'm like, geez, this guy's an egomaniac, right? He's a narcissistic, you know, whatever. But anyway, you know, and he said, you know, the reason I don't make mistakes is I look at it as a learning opportunity. And so there are no mistakes. It's always constantly learning and getting better and getting better and getting better. And when I think about action, you know, if you're going out there and you're pushing the envelope, you know, looking at as a conclusion, I think is a mistake. Right? Like, if this doesn't work, I'm going to do this. No, if this doesn't work, I'm going to learn from it, change my ways, and go make it work the next time. And that's where I feel like, you know, there's that saying that, you know, it took me 20 years to be an overnight success, you know, because you just constantly refine and refine and refine and to the point where it just looks so simple. How did you get here? You make it look so easy, and you're just like in the back of your brain, you're like, I want to punch this guy in the face, you know, or, you know, because it hasn't been that easy. It's been hard, and I've committed, and I'm persistent, and I'm constantly learning. And so I like that about action. I like taking action with not a conclusion mindset, but a learning mindset. I think that's incredibly powerful.
And it's totally accountability, right? Because as COO, you know, one of the biggest things we talk about as a company is I preached about this to us that we, you know, it's, you must be accountable. And, you know, what you're saying, Dave, is, oh, it didn't work. Oh, we tried this and it didn't work. Or, oh, this didn't work. No, it's not that it didn't work. It's that I did something
right
that didn't work. And so I think that's the most important thing with a company is you've always got to look at the decision that was made. That decision wasn't made on its own. That decision was made by you and the company, and ultimately it produced and yielded a certain outcome, because we're always quick to take the credit when things go right. We're always like, oh yeah, I did that. Really? Well, then you also did the mistake, right?
That's so, right.
You know, another thing is interesting. I think that you've done well is you've taken that the product off the variable sheet. You know, it's a premium product. It's amazing. You've made every step to do that, right? And so when we're looking at the marketing of that, we're not challenging the product, right? We're not challenging the taste. We don't have to, because it's awesome premium coffee. And so now it becomes the messaging. It becomes the profile. It becomes the spend. And so it's almost like a golf swing, you know? Like, you want to just minimize all the craziness you're doing so you can figure out why the ball isn't going straight.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of look at it in a weird kind of way, in the same kind of, I don't know, thought process. Absolutely. I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the coffee is awesome. It's, you know, I haven't had one person say to me after they tried it, like, yeah, you know, I've had better. Honestly. I mean, I can honestly say that we've not had one return. Not one shipment has ever been returned. We've never had one person even ask to return their product. It's been a blessing that way, because we have a solid tangible to rely on so that we can deliver our intangible. That's ultimately the most important thing, is as long as the quality of the product is there, it shows that hopefully we will also provide a quality spiritual experience as well.
So let me ask you this. Why do you think, for the people that are listening out there, why do you think that more people don't take action faster?
Well, Steve. Man, you know,
Let us have it.
I'm getting old
already.
I've sort of tempered this. You know, if I were 25 and you asked me that, I would tell you, because people suck. And I don't think that's right anymore. I don't think it's true anymore, because
anymore as of last week. Yes, go on.
Yeah. Believe me, I still struggle with this, man. I'm telling you, like, I can't take it when I see people don't deliver, they don't want to try, they stop before the finish line. I mean, it drives me nuts, you know, but I have to stop myself and I have to realize that we are not all the same people.
Right.
And, you know, there are different types of personalities, there are different gifts, there are different reasons why he put us here. And, you know, I hear all the time, because of my bold personality, that I'm such a butt kicker, you can be that way, but you also need people that will be able to work with you.
Yep.
And in order for them to be able to work with you, they must be different because they're going to give you other gifts. And so that's one part of this. So why don't they? Man, I don't know. You know, like, I have no problem waking up at the crack of dawn, going down to the gym, and just, I mean, I could spend an hour and a half there. I really could. And I'm not doing it for me. I mean, I pray to the Lord that if this world ends and I'm here, I've had this prayer and I've said, leave me here. I will fight every one of these devils until I am gone. And I'm not down there, you know, at 50 years old, I'm not really, you know, it's hard to be good looking anymore. I don't give a crap about that. Like, it's so not like at 20 something, like that's why we're down there. Right. But that's where my kids are down there. They're like trying to, you know, I mean, it's like mating season, right? It's so not where I am. Like, I am a warrior for Christ. If challenge comes and he decides to return, it's going to go down and he's going to know he's got me in his corner.
I love
because,
it.
You know, it's just, and why don't people do this? I'm not sure, because we're going to need other people to fight this battle behind the scenes, in the caves, having church service where they can't be found, like whatever it is. But Steve Agron's going to be running around looking for puddles to drink out of and bamboo shoots to take these people out. Like, that's where I'm going. I'm going to be that guy.
I love it. I love it. Well, it's funny because a couple weeks ago I was talking to a business leader and he goes, you know what? He's like, if I was looking at my company and I said, hey, you know, and in your example, you know, let's say we're realizing that the coffee quality is starting to go down. I'm going to source different beans, or I'm going to source them from a different place, or we've got a manufacturing line down. I'm going to get a different machine. I'm going to fix the process. I'm going to do whatever. He goes, you know, we have our resources to go address those things. He's like, but the scary part is the most unreliable resource that we spend so much money on is people. And that just slapped me upside the face. I was like, yeah, people are the most unreliable resource out there. So then, as you're talking about the challenges, how do you get yourself around the right people? How do you hire the right people? How do you build the right team? Because at the end of the day, they're the most unreliable thing on your balance sheet, on your P&L.
So it's, you know, and I'm going to use a word that has two meanings these days, but you need some diversity. And I do not mean that diversity over on that side. I mean, like, diversity and skill set with, you know, and I think, Dave, you've got a team similar, but you that we all must be believers. We all must have a similar mission that we are going to go out and deliver for the Lord. And, you know, I think that if you, you know, look all the way back, I mean, look at how different the 12 disciples were, right? I mean, he put this team together and they could not have been more different. And so I say all the time, we don't have a CEO. Because the Lord is our CEO. And I think if we develop our teams the way we do, and we do it in a way in which the Lord developed his team, we're doing something right. And it's okay to take someone that might be a little broken that I think that you can help work on and fix. As long as they're a believer and they understand the mission behind what we're doing, I think that's the most important thing. Because the last thing I want to do is insert anything on the team that isn't going to be in tune with us. You know, I think it's really important for us all to have a common place where we can all sit around a table and have a conversation. Even if that person's an introvert next to you, one thing you do know is that they're a believer, and you can ask them where they are on their path, and you can discover things about them that may teach you something, right? And so that to me is the most important thing, is creating a team of believers. And I also think it's being anti-woke. I mean, I'll just say it. You know, we are not about, and I'm not bashful to say, but we are not about advancing this team or growing this team in a way in which we're going to be adding anything other than a male, a female, and people that actually care about themselves and honor their temple the way that they should. That's really who we're looking for. We want true human beings that were still in the cloth of the Lord.
You know, I think about why don't people take action more or faster? And I think, you know, it all comes down to kind of really two things: motivation and confidence. You know, we have this fear, anxiety, stress, doubts, insecurities. Should I be doing this? What are they going to think about me? What are they not going to think about me? And that all plays in whatever you're doing, whether you're building a company or, you know, doing outreach or whatever, trying a new sport. It doesn't matter. It comes down to motivation. What is that motivator? You know, is it to lose weight? Is it to gain weight? Is it to, you know, pursue something? You know, whatever that motivation is. And then the confidence to go do it. You know, and you're thinking about like, okay, do I have the confidence to go knock on the door and say, hey, I want to do this. Real quick, we had our sons on earlier and my son, Brady, who, you know, I'm proud of both my sons, of course. Brady decided, I told him I'm not paying for college. Right. And I said, listen, this was two summers. I'm not paying for college. You're going to have to go figure that out, or you're just going to have to get out loans and get in debt like I did. I'm not doing it. And so this summer, this is after our podcast a couple weeks ago. Okay. It kind of hit him. He's got to pay rent and it's $1,000 a month. And he's got like $1,000 in his bank account. And he's like, I'm going to be out in Utah. And like, you know, he's going to have 7 months of rent. And I'm like, you need 7K, man. Like, where are you going to get that from? He took my pressure washer and he went and knocked on doors.
I love it.
And you know what? He's made $2,000 in 1 week.
Wow.
No experience with pressure washing, none. He basically got before and after pictures off the internet and said, hey, I can pressure wash. And he went out and started bidding, put some stuff on Nextdoor, and he just went out. I made $2,000 in a week. Like, when I think about the motivation, one, he needed money. Two, does he have the confidence? He can pressure wash. Like, it's not that hard, right?
Yep.
But I get all those self-improvement skills that you got to have, like, or self-image skills that you got to have when you knock on a door kind of thing. But, you know, it's just a real brief example of, you know, why don't people take action more, or why don't people take action, want to do it more? It comes down to their motivation. Are they motivated? You know, and I think what you're alluding to earlier, Steve, is, you know, the U.S. economy right now doesn't motivate people to work. They can get a handout and they can get paid very easily. In fact, there was Dr. Phil had did something that says, you know, if you don't work, you can make more money than minimum wage. There's a whole graph he did on it. He's like, we do not incentivize people to work for money in this country. And so that's happening.
Well, see, it is. I mean, and that's really... that goes back to all the different types of people and their gifts. You know, for me, I'm a risk taker. I love the idea of failure and disaster because to me, it's figuring out a path that avoids that. I was a competitive triathlete, which you probably knew, Dave, over the years, maybe telling you that story, but nationally ranked, it's a very, very difficult sport to excel in because obviously there are three different sports. You got to be good at all three. You know, I could run really fast, go to a 5K and probably win it. But what I thought to myself is, all right, Mr. Tough Guy, you're that good. How about you get a bike, learn to swim, and see how good you are now? And that drove me. And then I got in the pool and I never had actual swim lessons. I knew how to swim, but I mean, I didn't know how to, man, that's like golf. There are like 300 different motions coming in when you're trying to swim. And efficiency is so important because you're trying to save your lower body so that you have it for the run and you have it for the bike. And but all of that drives me. I love, you know, I said this to my oldest son and I've said it to the other two guys too. And to other young men I meet in the world, you need to sign up for a marathon. Go sign up for a marathon. I'll put the training plan together for you because you need to learn what it's like to suffer. I want you to feel like how it feels at mile 19 and 20, where you can hardly walk, but you're going to tell yourself you're going to run anyway. So that's much awesome. Is learned through that, man. I'm telling you, because then all of a sudden you learn at mile 25, you're like, holy crap, man, I'm almost done. And for what reason? Now you can run again. You could have ran then, dude, but you didn't because you were giving in to your psyche saying, no, this is hard. This hurts. My hamstrings are tight. Something feels like it's going to break and pop and tear. A marathon is brutal. It's brutal. I've done countless marathons. You get good at it, but they are never easy. It's always a battle, and there's always room to improve on that race because no one ever feels like $100 when they finish. It takes 2 months to recover. It's a brutal, brutal sacrifice to the human body. So, you know, some of us are driven that way. Some of us love that challenge. Some of us love to break our body down and just see what else it's capable of doing. Because to me, whether it's physical, mental, whatever it is, I think you're always, if you're always driving towards increasing that, your guardrails, you know, we sort of stay in our guardrails, right? Your guardrails are self-imposed. You create your own guardrails. And failure is always a tight set of guardrails. So your son, his set of guardrails was like, man, I need $7,000. How am I going to do this? Oh my gosh, I want to move out. I can't pay for college. Like all of a sudden he came to a dead end and his guardrails are tight. So what did he do? He blew through the freaking barrier that was at the end of that road. And he put his guardrails out, and now he's like, man, $2,000 in a week. Jeez, I'm going to have like 15 grand by the time I leave.
Yeah. You know,
we must be driven to failure before we actually wake up sometimes. And, you know, there are a lot of amazing people, and I'm not one of them, that they can learn that lesson before they reach that point. But, you know, for me, it's always like, I want to find that very edge of disaster and know, okay, now I'm flirting with it. I got to figure out another way to get better, pivot, paradigm shift, whatever it is to excel and get a little bit further in life or in this moment or in this, with this team, with this product, whatever it is. So, yeah.
That's exceptional, man. That's awesome.
I love what you said because it kind of plays back into, Dave, when you mentioned one of the other issues is confidence, you know, and I think what holds people back so many times is, they're not confident, but what they are confident in is their ability to predict the future because they know it's not going to go well. They have all the excuses and they're confident about that. When the reality is we're horrible at predicting the future. Vegas knows that, which is why they love taking advantage of it as much as possible because they know that you can't, you know, and so that's where you got to blow through the wall and get it done anyway. Take action anyway. You don't know what's going to happen. I've said this to so many people before. Like, you can tell me you're sure, but you don't know for sure until you actually go do it. There's this thing called life. And in life, there's this thing called God, and he knows, and he can do anything. Anything under the sun is possible. You have no idea what's going to happen. And when he does it, it'll blow your mind. So don't count him out and don't count out what could happen in the process. You know, and I'm sure it's very similar to running a marathon, Steve. Like, you don't know what's going to happen in those 26.2.
Exactly, man. Exactly. Because that body, it's not necessarily designed to run that far. It's not. But when you lean on the Lord, you get delivered to the end, man. I mean, that's all there is to it. I love it. I absolutely love it. I think it's, you must rely on your own personal faith. And I think too, if you look back at anyone who has their big success story, it typically started with a low. It typically, the real momentum and the beautiful part of that story is usually at a point where they hit a low spot or they hit a tough spot or they faced a challenge and they turned that thing around and then it ended up being what produced their company into some big success, you know? And kids today and some folks that might not be as experienced don't understand that you got to get there, man. And you got to put yourself out there in order to become a person in that moment in order to get to the other side. I mean, there's no top of the mountain without being at the bottom first. And you've got to get there. And it means you got to get up each morning. You got to get out. You got to walk your way across that plateau knowing that, man, I got a big one to climb here. Don't expect to do it in a day all the time, but lean on your faith.
It happens. It happens for a lot of reasons and a lot of different people, but I can tell you what you're saying, Steve, is spot on the way that I feel like it happened for me. You know, I grew up very poor and my parents tried and they did the best they could. And, you know, my dad took me to hockey and, you know, hockey was expensive and on top of being poor. And I just remember, you know, it just sits with me as a platform of my foundation is I don't like being broke. I know what that felt like. And I had friends that were not broke. Like they had the not the nicer things, but they just did things that were, you know, as a family, and my parents argued, and, you know, my brother was beating up on my dad, you know, like poverty's a spirit, man. And that hurt me. I mean, it just hurt me from a psychology standpoint. Like it hurt my id, my ego. I don't ever want to go back to that ever, you know? And so, that gets me up every single day to go crush it, you know, with the idea of, okay, Lord, how are we going to crush it today? Like, what are we doing? I know I have a plan. I know I have a schedule, but what are we doing today? I want to glorify you in everything that I do. And I just think all the time, man, except for the grace of God, there go I.
Exactly.
And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for that seed. What's that?
That's the gift you're giving your son too. You know, I mean, oftentimes as COOs, as leaders of companies, as, you know, owners of corporations, we deliver these tough messages and they're often misconstrued that we're trying to be a hard ass, or we're trying to be difficult, or we're trying to give someone a tough road. But really what we're trying to do is enhance, motivate, and create growth for that person.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you know, that's a beautiful thing. You know, and I think that prayer, as you were saying, you know, prayer to me, first of all, it's an invitation, right? People think, oh, I'm going to pray. I just came up with this idea to pray. I'm going to pray. I need to pray for this. But anytime you think of prayer, it's actually the Holy Spirit that's speaking to you, and he is inviting you into conversation with him. It's him calling out to you saying, hey, I'd like to talk to you. And that feeling and that motivation internally is amazing. And when you start to get fine-tuned into your Holy Spirit and listening for his voice, man, this world is a lot easier to be successful in. And I don't mean financial. I just mean in general, it's a lot easier to be successful when you're tuned into that Holy Spirit, because not only does he ask you to pray and converse with him and talk to him, he's asking to walk with you. And in doing so, when you're that tuned into the Holy Spirit, he's also speaking to you on your day and telling you what to watch out for. And it's thy will be done. Man, that's happening right there, brother. It's right there in living space right in front of you when you're tuned in, man. Yep.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. So, listen, this has been great. We could probably talk for another hour and a half on action. And I do want to reference, you know, right now we have it listed as action, you know, and the kind of the H2 heading is, you know, always move forward. But before that, it used to be God can't steer a parked car. You know, if you're taking action, you're moving, right? And you're probably experiencing some level of failure, some level of suffering, some level of disaster, which Steve quite honestly put out there. I love that. But you're moving, and it's not failure, right? So I think we gained from today's podcast is that it's not failure. It's a learning opportunity, yep. Right? To keep that. It's not a terminal action. It's a verb. It just keeps moving, right? But Dave, let me ask you, what do you think the take home is from today's podcast?
Action is a choice. I think that's been woven throughout everything we've talked about. You know, action is a choice. If you're leading an organization, get people that understand that get people that are people of action, that do not sit back, that you know, move forward. You know, you can't predict the future. You've got to get after it. You've got to create space for God to do what he needs to do and not close him down. But it all comes back to you getting up in the morning and having a positive attitude and saying, I'm going to act today. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to be fearful. I'm going to be confident that God's got this. I'm going to act, and then we're going to see what happens.
Steve, if there's a person out there in the ministry that's listening, whether it's a pastor or a worship leader, you know, what's the take-home message from today's podcast from your perspective?
You know, I think we're all Daniel. I think that, you know, we ultimately must rely on the Lord, and we must rely on him to deliver us from what we think could be the biggest disaster out there. Because, you know, I've got the goosebumps just thinking about it, but, you know, think of how he felt before he was thrown into the den. he thought it was over. Mm-hmm. He took action for days. He spoke up. He was always just out there and outward and taking action. Daniel is all about action. And I think sometimes we fall back away from action because we're afraid of what the outcome could be. And fear is lack of faith. And I think my message would be that never fear, always have faith, because even as Daniel was thrown into the den, he was rescued right out of there from the mouths of lions and given his life. And so that's the ultimate joy, I think, is march on, boys and girls, because ultimately we're serving him. He will always rescue us. He will always save us. He doesn't want to see us harmed, and he will deliver us to the end successfully in one piece and delivered right through the gates at the final end.
That's awesome. Thanks for joining us, Steve. What a great podcast.
All right, guys.
For those of you listening out there, we'll talk to you next week. Thanks again for joining us. I want to give special thanks to our sponsor, M is Good. Want to learn more about M is Good? Go to misgood.com. Join us again next week as we continue to uncover the secrets to success with faith-based testimonies and the power of R7. Remember, destiny awaits, but time does not.